Welcome to the Fitfluential Radio Podcast, the intersection of health, wellness, and fitness. Join host Kelly Olexa as she interviews thought leaders and world-class experts in order to demystify and deconstruct complex health and wellness topics. The goal of each episode is to provide you with actionable everyday tips and information that you can apply in your lifestyle. Now here's your host, Kelly Olexa.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa, and today on the show, we welcome Tom Terwilliger. Let me just tell you something. Tom is somebody I've met probably 6 or 7 years ago. I think I met him at a Blog World conference in Vegas, and he just made such an impact on me in person. I remember thinking, oh, this guy was Mr. America. He's got to be stuck up. That couldn't be more wrong. And I've since learned not to make snap judgments about people, but Tom is one of the most down-to-earth and yet one of the most motivating and inspiring individuals in the fitness space that I've ever met. You're going to hear a lot of that here on the show, and we'll talk about quite a lot of stuff, but particularly on the show, we're talking about something that's become very near and dear to his heart, as well as his wife, and that is helping folks well past the age of 40, you know, in your 40s, 50s, 60s, and beyond, get in the best shape of their lives. And yes, that is true. And no, it's not some weird pill that you buy. This is just natural tips to getting in the best shape of your life. Just a little blurb here from Tom's official bio, and then we'll let you dive into the interview. Tom Terwilliger is equal parts athlete, entrepreneur, and motivator. 5 years after pulling himself from the world of drug and alcohol abusing outlaw bikers, Tom's never give up attitude, determination, and willingness to sweat earned him a national bodybuilding championship and a coveted Mr. America title, and was also the springboard to a successful 16-year career as a Fox Sportsnet TV show host. A number one best-selling author of The 7 Rules of Achievement. Side note, highly recommend his books. And Why Smart Goals May Be Dumb. Tom has taught thousands of individuals and organizations the empowering leadership, body rapport, and life success tools, rules, and strategies needed to take massive leap forward in their lives, businesses, and career. I hope that you enjoy this interview. I know you'll enjoy this interview. He's dynamic, but at the same time, just incredibly down to earth. And he's somebody I know after the show you're going to want to tune into on a regular basis. So enjoy, and we'll see you soon. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Fitfluential Radio. I'm your host, Kelly Olexa. And today on the show, I am extremely pleased to share with you that I got Tom Terwilliger to come on the show. I met Tom, I shared this a little bit in the bio before the show started, so you've heard a little bit there, but I've met Tom probably 5-6 years ago, even before I founded Fitfluential, and every time I've run into this guy at a conference, even online, when we talk on the phone, first of all, you're going to love his voice. He has the best voice on the planet. He has the best accent ever, and he's one of the most, on one hand, genuine, keep it real, down-to-earth guys, but he's so motivating. And one of the number one things people, when they write into Fitfluential, ask about is, how do I get motivated to get healthy? How do I get motivated to lose weight? How do I get, you know, my mind in the right place? Tom Terwilliger is your mindset guy, and you're going to learn so much from him on this episode. So I am going to just dive right in and get Tom talking, because I'd rather listen to him than have you listen to me. So that said, welcome to the show, Tom. And I would love to have you start off with telling our listeners that might be hearing about you for the first time. I like to ask my guests this when they're first on the show. How did you first start pursuing fitness in your lifestyle? Was it at a young age? Was it later in your life? And what was it that compelled you to say, I want to start working out, I want to start eating healthier? When was it and why?
Well, first, this is such a great opportunity, and I want to thank you, Kelly, for what you're doing first with Fitfluentials and giving access to sort of like the leadership in the fitness community and the personal development community. And thank you for including me in that and having the opportunity to be able to share with you and your listeners as well. And I will say this, this was a moment where I wish I had had a helium balloon with me, because all the talk about my voice, I'm like, oh my God, wouldn't it be great if I just had a helium balloon? And just that was it. I mean, I just, it would have set the tone perfectly for what's coming. But thank you for such a great introduction. And yes, I started in the fitness world years and years ago. Gosh, I guess I was about 8 years old when I first started studying martial arts, Chinese Kung Fu. I was a like so many people back then of my age, I was a huge fan of Bruce Lee. In fact, I saw one of the first Bruce Lee movies. It was called The Big Boss in Chinatown in Manhattan before it had been released at all, before anyone in America that spoke English even knew who Bruce Lee was. And I fell in love with this guy because he was just so awesome and such a great presence and such a great martial artist. So naturally that sort of led me down that path. And I was very fortunate that my older brother Raymond, who took me to that movie, was also a police officer in Manhattan and one of the instructors at Grandmaster Alan Lee is Kung Fu Wusu Studio in Manhattan. So I started studying Kung Fu, and that sort of like was the first real introduction into fitness, because it was very fitness oriented, very discipline oriented. The martial arts, I mean, Alan Lee was a former Shaolin monk, so he really taught in that traditional sense. And that's what one of the first things that led me to love fitness. Of course, a few years pass. I'm now, you know, 13, 14 years old. I'm this skinny Bruce Lee looking kind of physique. But I like, now I'm starting to discover girls. And it's like, oh, there's more than just fitness involved here. I wanted to look good. I wanted to look more muscular. And I'd started reading some of the magazines. I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger in junior high school. I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger on the cover of Muscle Builder magazine for the first time. And it just freaked me out. I'm like, could a human being possibly look like this? Could I possibly look like this? And it was really the beginning of a full-blown love affair with bodybuilding, with lifting the metal, lifting weight, challenging my body to push itself beyond its limits. And I started working out with a group of guys and friends. Of course, they all began to fall off, and I stuck with it. And years later, that love affair continued right into winning the national championship, the Mr. America title, and competing on the highest possible level. You know, certainly years later from Arnold Schwarzenegger, but on that same stage at the Mr. Olympia. And it's one of those things where once you fall in love with fitness and its effects and how it makes you feel, you never really lose it. It's although I have seen people fall off and gain a good deal of weight in my sport, you know, later on in life, it's one of those things that for me, it will always stick with me and always have a huge influence on everything I do, everything I teach, and everyone I coach. So it continues forth today.
Well, there's so many things that are, and I've always felt this, when people come to me and say, oh, Kelly, you know, I've followed you for a while, and you're so, you know, you inspire me to do this, and I believe I can do it because I'm watching you. And I've always found that with business, fitness, the principles that are going to keep you motivated, keep you doing what you need to do in fitness, they apply to so many other areas of your life. You can apply it to your, and I'm just miss metaphor. I miss analogy. Let me tell you a story. It's like this. And you can do that with fitness. You know, if you start down that fitness journey, you're typically going to attack other areas of your life with similar passion. And that's why for me, Fitfluential meant so much, because what I like to do is get people to see that it's not just, don't compartmentalize fitness. If you start improving how you look and how you feel and see what you're capable of doing, whether you end up going that bodybuilding route and competing, which is a remarkable challenge, right? But people love it. And then they see what they're capable of. And then suddenly they go, well, what am I capable of at work? What am I capable of in my marriage? What am I capable of over here? So I always love how, again, starting down that fitness journey, don't look at it as like, well, my doctor says I have to lose, you know, 5 pounds or my cholesterol's high. Look at it as something that's going to have an impact on other areas of your life. And that's just the perfect, I just did the perfect layup for what we're going to talk about today.
And, you did.
I used a sports analogy.
And there it is. You're the analogy. You know, I have a friend out here. He's a radio show host here. He calls himself the president of the bad analogy club. But you know what? He always gives pretty reasonable analogies. I've got an analogy later that you'll tell me if it's good or bad or not. But it is fascinating that once you start down that path, and especially, and I will say this for anyone listening, you know, whatever the catalyst is that gets you started down the fitness path or losing weight or getting in better shape, whether it is because you've been told you have a high cholesterol, you need to lose weight, or you're on your way to diabetes, whatever it might be, whatever that catalyst is. In other words, you know, we're motivated by two primary things, right? Pain or pleasure in life. We're either moving towards trying to achieve something that will provide pleasure, or we're moving away from something that's going to cause pain. And sometimes pain can be much more motivating. Let's put it this way. If you're sitting on a hot plate, man, and that thing's getting hotter and hotter, you're ultimately going to jump up, right? Mm-hmm. But if it's like, I'm sitting on something, it's a little warm, it's kind of uncomfortable, but over there could be so much more comfortable, but you know, I'm fine here. So we stay there, you know? So whatever gets you moving, gets you up off the couch and moving, let that just be the beginning. And then what you want to do is, because we're going to talk a lot about mindset here. The mindset is to shift that away from moving away from the potential of diabetes or being obese or having high blood pressure or the potential of cancer or heart disease, and having it instead moving towards something that's rewarding. Now, I want to talk a little bit about being over 40 and over 50 in those respects. And maybe having the beach body or the great abdominals isn't the primary rewarding motivation, but maybe having the energy to spend time with your kids or your grandkids, or having the energy to do the things that you want to do. I'm a big believer that we have plenty of time in life, but we just don't have enough energy to utilize that time. So we spend it on the couch watching television. So whatever gets you into fitness or moving down that path or up and off that couch, even if it's a negative away from objective, start to change your mindset in terms of moving towards something that's much more compelling. And that's when you'll find the love and the joy and the happiness and the satisfaction from being fit, and even what it takes to be fit, as opposed to just something you have to do. Does that make sense?
Oh, I mean, there's two things. Well, there's so many truth bombs that came out of that, but it reminded me of two things I wanted to share, which is number one, and we'll link this up in the show. I know from experience, and some of these might be, you know, even a couple years old, but it doesn't matter. It's still relevant. I know, Tom, you've got, for everybody listening, like if you want a juice of motivation, Tom is so good and he's got a ton of, like, you've got some great clips. I think they were potentially from Muscle and Fitness or whatever, but on your YouTube channel that, you know, I watch and I'm like, oh my God, he's throwing it down. He is preaching. You know, if you want some motivation, just do some Googling on him. Again, we'll link up to everything. But exactly what you said there is such a key component to what I've been trying to get across when I, you know, engage with my followers, which is this: stop looking at fitness or getting healthy or eating better as like a punishment, right? People go, oh, I have to lose weight. I guess I have to do cardio. I guess I have to, you know, I have to start going to the gym. Instead of that, and having that attitude of, or people will focus on what they can't have. Well, I guess I'm not supposed to have a lot of carbs now. I guess I'm not going to be able to drink. And they look at everything they're not allowed to have. Some of them will use that when they're trying to find a, and I'm using air quotes over here, a diet, because they're like, if I have to give up all that, if I'm not allowed to drink or park my ass on the couch, you know, what can I do over here? And that's why I think back in the day, not to say that this is a bad organization, but people would go for Atkins, not because they thought it was necessarily the best choice, but because, well, if I cut out bread, at least I can have 17 pounds of cheeseburgers every day. That's the wrong mindset. And so, yeah, a lot of what Tom talks about and we'll talk about today is mindset, but that's the key. I mean, we all are capable of moving. We're all capable of working out. We're all capable of eating what someone tells us to do. But ultimately, you're going to get to that point where you're on your own, you're traveling, you're taking a client out for dinner, whatever it is, you're alone with your kids. Who's going to make the decision to eat better? Who's going to make the decision to work out tonight or not work out tonight? That's where that mindset comes in, and it's an ongoing thing. So, again, perfect layup. Even though I don't watch sports, I believe that's a basketball term, so I'll just assume. But anyway, when Tom actually, again, you guys, just for everybody listening, I've known Tom for years, and he's just he's been somebody who started off in the fitness space, and then when you and I connected about Fitfluential actually probably 4 or 5 years ago. You were starting to do a lot more work in, you know, you were speaking all over the country, you were talking, you and your wife were doing a lot of work in, I'd say that more of the business entrepreneurial space and, mm-hmm. and teaching on corporate culture and mindset. And I've always been so impressed with you. I'm like, you're so good at what you do. And so when you reconnected with me and I asked you if you'd be on the podcast, a lot of what I do with guests for everybody listening is I'm like, what's going on with your life right now? How can we make this a valuable show for our readers, our listeners? So it's like, I pretty much know what our listeners want to hear and what they want to be taught on and what they want to know. But I also want to make it so that we're talking about something that, you know, my guests are very passionate about. So it's a good interview. If I ask you boring questions, it's going to be like a snooze fest. So when I reach out and I ask Tom what he's working on, he wrote me an email back. And y'all, I have to tell you, I'm doing like a drum roll thing here. I'm setting the stage. He wrote me back and said, this is what my wife and I are really starting to focus on. And we're kind of coming out of that corporate entrepreneurial environment. And I'll let you say it, Tom, better than me, but you're focusing more on fitness and corporate wellness, almost, so to speak. You become very passionate about it. It's something I'm very passionate about, which is getting folks that are in corporate America that are not 22, folks that are, you know, let's say 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, whatever that age is, you know, how can they get healthy? How can they get fit? How can they see that it's possible with their lifestyle? I've always wanted to address this, and that's exactly what you wrote me about. So, Tom, I'm just going to let you start telling me exactly what you wrote to me about in the email. What is it that you and your wife have found is such a need to address in this area?
Well, it's fascinating because, you know, as we started to emerge more into corporate training and the corporate training, you know, as I said earlier, fitness is always going to be a component of what I do in terms of coaching. I can't separate. In fact, I don't think we should separate the mental, even the spiritual, certainly the programming of the unconscious mind, how we act, our behaviors, from the physical component, from who we are physically. And so I maintain that in everything we do. But what I began to discover as I started to immerse myself more into speaking for corporations and doing trainings and mostly in the area of leadership, achievement, and mindset strategies for not just all employees, but certainly for the leadership of different organizations, small to mid-sized organizations, what I began to found was that what was happening was, even with the best strategies, you know, and I wrote you about this, it's like, how can you expect anyone or anyone can expect themselves to do more with less time or in less time, even with the best strategies, when what's really holding them back is their energy and their will? Because if you're not in decent shape, and I say just decent, I mean, that's the bare minimum, right? But most people in corporate America today and across the board, really, are not in top physical shape by any means. They're overweight. They're sluggish. They're tired. They're eating poorly. They're not giving their body the nutrition it needs. And therefore, they don't have the will to do more, even if it takes less time, even if it's easier, even with the right strategy, they just don't have the energy or the will to do it. So it's easier. It takes much less energy to just maintain the status quo. It takes much less energy to just keep doing what you're doing, even though you may hate it, even though it may be, you know, it's like, there's got to be a better way. Yeah, there's a better way, but it does take a little will. It takes some energy to implement that first. And then ultimately that becomes the new norm, the new behavior. And next thing you know, you've got even more energy because it's easier, but people don't do it. So what I found was that the physical conditioning of most of the people we were working with in the corporations was the biggest obstacle we were facing, or these organizations were facing, and I as a trainer was facing, in terms of really implementing and creating real change within the organizations. So I began to look at that. I began to study that. I began to look at who's in leadership roles, what kind of shape are they in, what are they doing, what are their diets look like, and began to see more and more and more that certainly at what might be categorized as middle age, 40, 50, 60 or so, people have sort of like given up on that to a degree. They've given up on that. They don't see the value, the importance, because they've allowed so many years to go by. They've allowed the last 10, 15, 20 years to go by when they did have a little more energy and they did have a little more drive and a little more will. So they think that that's just going to last forever. And it doesn't. It kind of starts to go away after a certain age. We start to feel the impact of the aging process, you might say. So I found that the biggest obstacle was getting around that. And I started implementing different strategies for that as well. Something we call body rapport. I began to talk about body rapport, knowing, liking, and trusting your body as the first component, the very first initial stage of implementing any kind of change whatsoever, especially something that might involve a leap, a giant leap. Hey, we want to take this corporation to this level, or we want to completely pivot our organization. Well, you know what? That's going to be hard to do if you don't have the energy, the dynamics, the will, and the body rapport to do it on a personal level. You're not going to change the organization as a result of that, because you're going to wind up stuck. You know, the I guess it's Candace Pert who wrote that our body is our unconscious mind. So if your body is telling you, no, you can't do this, you're not strong enough, you don't have the energy to do this, you'll collapse. Remember what happened last time. You can't work till midnight, get up at 6 a.m. and keep going. You can't do it. And that is sometimes what's required to be successful in the business world. In fact, not even sometimes. The vast majority of the times, that's what's required. But if your body is telling you, no, you can't do that, then guess what? Unconsciously, you're going to even sabotage yourself in trying or even making the effort. So this is some of the stuff that I ran into. So I knew, hey, if I'm going to continue down this path, I want to start working more in the thing that I really love, the true passion. Because when we were doing a lot of the corporate training and not seeing the changes that we wanted, that we believe can happen at that level because of this physiology component, then I said, you know what? If all I'm doing is getting up there, training, inspiring in the moment, and no real change is taking place because of this, then I need to go back to the drawing board and readdress this component, not just on the corporate level, but with everyone I come in contact with, everyone I reach, everyone I have an opportunity to coach. So we've gotten more back into it. So my wife and I have really made a decision. We're going to move away from doing the corporate training and start getting back into reaching more people with fitness, particularly the aging population. Now, some people think the aging population is over 60. No, it's over 40. If you look at what's happening with people at 40, you know, it's like they've started to, you know, it's interesting because aging is this dynamic process that involves so many social and biological phenomena. I mean, self-perception, physical functioning, self-appraisals, even social support. It's all very complex. And the way we age in many respects is ingrained into our unconscious blueprints. Almost everyone has this idea. Why do you think the average person lives to between 75 and 85? Because we've been blueprinted. We've been programmed to do that. This is how it's done. And most of us accept that this is how it's done belief as the status quo. And we believe there's not much that we can do about it. And we all know we can't stop the aging process, but what most people fail to realize or fail to see is that we can alter the effects of the process by changing how our body and our mind, even our soul or spirit, responds to that process. So that's what we've begun doing. That's what we've begun educating people on. And we want to make a difference. We want to reach and ultimately impact a million men and women over 40 in terms of changing their lives, increasing the vitality of their lives, and increasing their years as well. And it's an interesting project, but it's rewarding thus far, I will tell you that.
There's so many things that were, as you were talking, that were coming to my mind. And again, you know, there's probably maybe folks that are listening to the show that might not know. So before I founded Fitfluential, and I typically call myself the most unexpected entrepreneur on the planet, because I never had any visions of myself prior to that of, I'm going to found my own company, I'm going to quit my job, because I was scared. And frankly, I see it now, because I've taken the time to learn and invest in personal development. And I get it. I get how scared I was. I didn't believe in myself. And I wanted the comfort zone of a paycheck and corporate America and somebody else dealing with all of the issues that when you're an entrepreneur, you have to deal with. But I have that experience of 15, 20 years of working in corporate America, corporate sales, you know, some startups, some Fortune 500 organizations, and all different kinds of environments. And so I know what it's like to, my first job was at Hyatt, working in the sales department. And I know what it's like to get up at 5:30 in the morning, drive to work, you know, be every single time that I went into this office or that office, there was a table, it was someone's birthday, table full of donuts, bagels, cream cheese, you know, all that kind of stuff.
And oh then boy, I see enough of that in those corporate rooms, I got to tell you.
Right? You know, and then we actually had access to a cafeteria so that all the leftover from meetings and banquets and weddings, all the leftover food we got to have for free. So if you go down there, it's literally like everything you possibly imagine, tiramisu, chicken Kiev with butter just oozing out. I mean, every conceivable bad for you food was at our fingertips. I worked for startups where I traveled all the time and I was on the road and I learned how to fit in fitness. So I can relate to all this stuff. But one of the things that you said when you were talking about the tie between, you know, fitness and what you were seeing in corporate America. And I'm thinking of you and your wife speaking in front of all of these, I call them corporate slugs. I was one of them, right? All these corporate slugs that are like, let's go to the office, make the donuts, whatever. You know, none of them are going to be really fired up because so many of them are in poor health. And I just started to think while you were sharing that of so many of the people that I learn from, that I look up to, and whether it's someone like Michael Hyatt or yourself or Tony Robbins, right? I used to be that skeptical Tony Robbins person until I went to a Tony Robbins event and I'm like, oh my God, this guy knows his stuff. And all of the people, I'm really hard pressed as you're talking, trying to think of somebody that whether it's a man or a woman that really inspires me, that is killing it in their business and their personal relationships and their finances, that isn't healthy, that isn't fit. And I don't know if you meant to make that tie, but to me, I'm like, wow, there is a correlation. There is a correlation between people that are really on fire and doing great things, that they're taking care of themselves as well. I mean, I think of like even the pastor at my church back in Chicago, Bill Hybels. He's adamant about running and sailing. Joel Osteen, I listen to him. He takes his health very seriously. And all these people have crazy travel schedules. They have very pressing demands on them from, you know, commitments and so on and crossing time zones. But they're fitting fitness in and it makes an impact on their lives. Have you, as you've started with you and your wife and you've started to make this commitment to serving these people and getting them to see the importance of that, do you typically get a lot of resistance up front with people that are like, look, you know, I'm 45. I know I could lose 5 or 10 pounds. And you're probably looking at them going, you could lose 45 or 50. Not to be mean, but that's the truth. We all want to say we should lose 5 or 10 pounds, but let's get real. It's usually like not 5 or 10 pounds. It's probably 50 pounds for it. Most of us are a lot more unhealthy than we think. But what kind of resistance do you get when you start teaching people how important it is? And it's not just about aesthetics. What kind of resistance do you get?
Well, you hit it on the nose. That's certainly one of the components of resistance. And I'll share with you an experience and what my perception of that is in many respects, you know, because it really begins with the mindset. In fact, we have a process now that we teach people that, and again, listen, this isn't something, you know, if you're over 40, 50 or 60 or even 70, you know, it's about dismissing this idea that you're old at whatever that age is, or this is, you know, the process you're going to have to follow. There's nothing you can do about it, because I think at the mindset level, most people, especially over 40, are feeling stuck. They're feeling frustrated, angry. They're starting to feel less energy. Listen, I went through this myself for a period where I just felt like, God, I had no freaking energy. There were other elements involved. I had to get my hormones in order. I had to get my endocrine system back in order. There were some things suffering in that respect. And instead, I started thinking, well, I'm just getting old. This is what happens. Well, we start to feel like all of a sudden we start to feel a few aches and pains, a little discomfort. We get out of the bed in the morning. Oh, you know, like, what do we say to ourselves? I'm getting old. Or somebody else says, hey, you're just getting old. Guess what? You start to believe it, man. It becomes the mindset. And that mindset is very limiting. Most people at that age are starting to feel like they're not where they should be or thought they would be at that stage. They look in the mirror and they aren't happy about what they're seeing. They try to stop eating all the crap and drinking too much alcohol, but they can't seem to do it. They know they need to lower their stress levels, lose weight, get back in some kind of shape, but they can't seem to stick with a solution long enough. They have lots of excuses too, I'll tell you that. Some of them legit, but most of them are not. And deep down inside, they recognize that they themselves represent their biggest obstacle. And here's one of the things that I've found, that unconsciously, most people over 40 like being stuck. I know that's going to sound crazy, but they like being stuck. Trying to dig their way out, the struggle, you might say, has become a familiar sense of purpose. Because, you know, when we're in our 20s or 30s, we're struggling, we're going through school, then we're either building a business or we're working for someone. And it's kind of a struggle. So it gets so familiar, it becomes a familiar sense of purpose. And they may hate it, but it's comfortable. So they give up. Because after a certain age, we stop, and this is another mindset landmine that we need to look out for, and it relates to our fitness, it relates to everything that we do. Because after a certain age, you know, listen, if you're struggling in your 30s, you still have hopes. You still have dreams. You still have aspirations that I'm going to be doing something more in another couple of years. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to do – something's going to change. It's going to change your circumstances. But if you're still in similar circumstances and still in the struggle and you've gotten comfortable with that struggle, you might hate it, but you've started to give up. And that becomes that sort of that victim mindset. I had it myself when I turned 50. I thought it was, I don't know, for some reason, I thought it was pretty much over because I've always been the fit guy. I've always been this, you know, to excuse the egotistic pun, but I was like the stud. I was a Mr. America, right?
At 50,
I looked at most of my bodybuilding contemporaries, the people I grew up with that I admired that were competing alongside me, and I was shocked at how old and out of shape most of them look. And one part of my mind said, I guess that's it for me as well. I started looking at guys. I'm like, well, I'm their age. That's me too, you know? But then another part of my mind, and this is the part I want everyone to engage. It's the fighter part. It's the warrior part. It said, screw this. Mm. I choose a different path. So I wound up reaching. Yeah, you just have to choose a different path. And it's fascinating because then find something that'll get you motivated, get you moving. For me, I knew, hey, listen, I had almost given up, right? So I reached out to an old friend at a leading bodybuilding magazine that was still on the shelves today, and I convinced them to do a photo shoot story with me and Dawn. And at the time, Dawn was just turning 40. I was 54, and we had 8 weeks to get into great shape for this photo shoot, right? So I began refocusing my mind and leaving behind this antiquated notion that we all have that 40, 50, or even 70 is in some way old and that we had no say in the matter. Well, it turns out we had plenty to say in the matter. And I wound up looking the best I've ever looked post bodybuilding season. I mean, when I was bodybuilding, of course, you know, I was in my 20s and my early 30s and I was, you know, Mr. America. So I can't compare myself to that. But post bodybuilding competition, this is the best at 55 years old was the best I'd ever looked. And so we do have something to say in the matter. We have a lot to say in the matter, but it begins with the mindset. It begins with dismissing the blueprint that you have that you're only going to make it to 70 or 80 or your father died at 70. Who cares? You can reprogram yourself. You can remotivate yourself. You can find other reasons other than just having to have a beach body or having to have great abs in the mirror. There are plenty of reasons, motivations. Find your compelling why. Attach that to being fit. And ultimately, you need to get to work on it. That mindset is the beginning. Now, we could talk endlessly about what the rest of the process is, but I know we only have a certain amount of time. So I want to honor your time as well, Kelly.
Well, you said some more, like for people that are listening too, I know my mic picks up every sound. So when I'm writing notes, I always come back and tell people I was writing notes because it reminds me, like I wasn't like writing a note or working on something else, but sometimes truth bombs come out. I'm like, I've got to remember to say that. But you said so many great things that I fully agree with. And obviously I feel very strongly that it is mindset, not only in the beginning, but forever. I also love that you said, you know, don't make the crappy excuses. And it is, people. I don't care if you're 37 or if you're 29 or if you're 45 or whatever. I'm 48 and I can say that right now I haven't reached my goal. I don't know that I'll ever say, oh, I'm finished. I mean, let's get real, but there's certain benchmarks I have, but I'm in the best shape now after getting some horrific, completely inappropriate health and medical advice from an unqualified individual that sadly I trusted last year that really set me off track. It really put me 7 steps back. But you know what? I took my life back. I'm working solely with my doctor. I'm doing the work because like you said, I looked at the devil. What is that? What's that phrase? I always forget the phrase.
The devil you don't?
Yeah. No? So I was looking at and for everybody listening, what I mean is when Tom's saying people will stay where they're comfortable, right? Yeah. It's the devil you know. So for me, even though the devil I knew at that moment, you know, the end of last year was, well, I'm looking in the mirror, none of my clothes fit. I have hormonal issues. I'm on bioidentical treatment. I have all these issues, hypothyroidism, and I'm looking at myself in the mirror going, screw this. And I remember thinking, I have gotten my diet so flipping clean. I have done so much work and look how much I'm going to have to fix. And then I made the decision. No one was going to deliver from UPS or FedEx motivation to my door. Nobody was going to deliver helping me get up every day and do the work when I didn't like how my workout clothes fit. What I had to do was decide why it was important to me. So just what you said, I'm 48 years old. Guess what? I've gotten myself in better shape already. I'm more proud and I'm probably doing way too many Snapchat selfies and Instagrams because I'm like, check out my delts. Look at those popping. And I'm 48, people. I'm not taking anything funny. It is the best, most energizing thing when you are proud of what you've done. So number one, Tom, I love that you said it doesn't matter what your age is. Be safe about it, right? We don't want anybody like going, okay, yeah, I'm going to go and bench 700 pounds my first time at the gym. Let's be reasonable and safe. But you can start at any time. You are more capable of so much with that vessel you've been given, that body that you've been given, and just explore it. Get, you know, search for an accountability partner, but don't think that you can't, that age truly is just a number. Don't think that age is a sentence. It's not a life sentence. Like, well, you're 42. I remember somebody in my family, I think it was my sister-in-law, said to me when I was 30, she goes, it's all downhill after 30, Kelly. I'm like, really, it's interesting.
That's so the brainwashing.
Yeah, exactly. And then that was one of the other things I had written down, which is the devil you know. And I want to ask you if you agree, we should close kind of on these points. And I want you to tell our listeners where they can find you, tell them about your new product that you have coming up, which sounds really cool. But folks, if you're listening, and when we're talking about that devil that you know, and Tom, I know that you would agree and probably can share from experience, but too many people look at, you know, again, where they are. And it's so comforting to say, you know, this is what I've been doing. I always go home, I get Taco Bell on the way home, I sit on the couch, I watch, you know, Dateline or I watch Scandal, and then I go to bed. Like, getting fit means I'm going to have to eat chicken and broccoli. And they make up all these limitations. They make up all of these things that are so really not the truth. And they convince themselves, like, that's way over there. I don't want to be one of those mutant fitness people, right? They think that it's like a special kind of person, a weird kind of a person that gets fit, when really we all can define what being fit and healthy means for us. And it shouldn't be that we convince ourselves to stay with the devil we know. Do you think too many people do that? They look and convince themselves that getting healthier is, it's like going to another planet. And then they're like, well, I'm not even going to go.
Oh, yeah. No question about it. And again, listen, folks, I get it. Kelly and I get it. There's no question about it. We understand it, because there are areas in our lives as well where we fall prey to the same kind of mindset. You know, it might be around finances. I know, you know, I have friends that are entrepreneurs that only recently, out of being forced into doing so, have really taken control of their finances. Their finances, because it's just uncomfortable. I've never been motivated by money. It's not a big thing for me. But I will tell you this: if you don't embrace money, if you don't understand money, if you don't organize it and manage it, it will never be attracted to you, and you won't have a lot. That I do know. So it's the same thing here. If I keep making excuses around money, I'm never going to have any. If you keep making excuses around being fit because it's too challenging, those fit people, or maybe you've got some blueprints from, hey, listen, I had a client several years ago who we couldn't figure out why he was stuck in his fitness. He would get to a certain level, but he could never quite lose the weight. He always was a little chunky, a little soft, and never could get around it. And we finally started working on the mindset piece. And it turns out what we discovered was that when he was younger, his parents literally blueprinted him to be an academic. They said, all that athletic stuff is a waste of time. Don't even bother with it. Don't think about it. And then on top of that, to confirm that, he was picked on and bullied and beaten up by jocks, who are athletes. So he began to hate unconsciously this idea of being an athlete. It wasn't important. It wasn't healthy. And it kept him from achieving the other academic things and more important things in life. So how could he ever possibly get fit, super fit, when you've got that kind of blueprint? You can't. You couldn't possibly do it. So the first thing is to recognize where and when you're sabotaging yourself in that respect. Hey, listen, there's nothing wrong with chicken and broccoli. Make it good. Make it tasty. Make it healthy. But the cleaner you eat and the less you eat the junk and the alcohol and stuff, the less excuses you're going to have in terms of changing. Listen, the bottom line is you are going to age. You are going to progress in life in some way, shape, or form. Why not choose? Why not empower yourself? The program Dawn and I have created called Max Mind Lean Body is as much about personal empowerment as it is about weight loss or building lean muscle tissue or getting stronger with your body. It's really about personal empowerment. Part of that is strength. Part of that is honoring your physiology, eating healthy, feeling energized. And with that, then you can start to take back your life instead of having life take you and control you in many respects. Mm-hmm. But it begins with a decision. And you got to make that decision sooner than later, because the older you get, the weaker you get. And the harder it's going to be to implement the new tools, the new changes, the new behaviors, the new actions. So I would start immediately. And Kelly, if it's okay, I'd love to give a gift away to some of your listeners, if that's all right.
Yes, absolutely.
Awesome. We have this is a great book. It's called Age Reversing Strategies for Extraordinary Health, Weight Loss, and Personal Power by Max Mind Lean Body. If you go to MaxMindLeanBody.com, MaxMindLeanBody.com, you can download it right there. It's absolutely free. And this will give us an opportunity to stay in touch with you and let you know when our Max Mind Lean Body product is coming out and all the other things that we got going on that can help you move towards what it is that you want in terms of your own power, your own strength, your own energy, and maintaining that youthfulness that you have now. Just keep it. Don't let it disappear on you, man.
You read my mind. That was going to be my next question. And I have actually that site pulled up right now. I'm going to download it afterwards. And, you know, for everybody listening, I've told you before, I've known Tom for years. I highly recommend him as somebody that can advise you not only on mindset, but obviously on fitness. I loved this conversation that we had about, you know, fitness as we get older. I've shared with everybody, you know, I'm 48. I feel so much better about myself and my future. And I'm not looking at the future with limitations. I'm looking at it like it's this wide open canvas. And a big part of that has to do with my health and my fitness and my wellness and how much I dedicate to that. That's frankly, you know, that's the whole reason I founded this company. So I'm really glad we talked about this, Tom. I think that this is a show you and I will talk offline, because I think that we should talk about this more. I think there's a lot of folks that need to be reached, and we should talk about, you know, fitness after 40, health and wellness after 40. And one little side nugget that you brought in there that I didn't even ask you to, and I'm just going to throw it down. You mentioned finances. One of the things that we will be launching here, I've got some great folks coming on the show. I've always thought that there was a tie and that we should be focusing on being financially fitfluential and not only empowering specifically women, because women like myself, I'm one of them, have tended to always be like, I don't know anything about money. Let somebody else handle it. And then you get screwed or you make bad mistakes and you think that, you know, if you just don't pay attention to it, it'll fix itself. And what causes more stress than money issues? Whether you owe money, you don't have enough money, you can't do the things or live the life you want, than money. So if you think that stress has, if you know that stress has such a bad impact on your health, getting in control of your finances and empowering yourself and learning what you need to know about money, I've realized this is something that I want to bring. So we actually are going to be launching a show on this Fitfluential Radio Network called Financially Fitfluential. I have some amazing guests in the financial area. Tom, you might be one of them that we have back to talk about finances. And again, you know, just getting comfortable talking about it, how we talk about credit scores, how we talk about managing debt, all of that, so we can become savvier, financially fit in every area. And I'm glad that you brought that up. So Tom, you're awesome. We took the show a little bit longer than normal today, but it was so worth it. And I'm so going to have you back on. For everybody listening, again, we will link up to everything we mentioned in the show on Fitfluential Radio. And thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of Fitfluential Radio. We hope you enjoyed the episode. Please visit us on iTunes and like this episode and subscribe to the podcast. We want this to be your podcast. So please head over to iTunes, write a review, and give us your feedback. Give us your ideas and even guest suggestions. For a full transcript of all episodes and bonus giveaways, be sure to visit FitFluentialRadio.com. We look forward to seeing you again for the next episode of FitFluential Radio. Peace. Please remember our disclaimer for the podcast. The materials and content discussed within the podcast are the opinions of host Kelly Alexa and the guests interviewed. This information is intended as general information only for listeners of the podcast. Listeners should always seek professional advice, and content and opinions expressed in the podcast should never be construed as a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment.